The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Give me a second. I've got to get my oxygen count up, or my oxygen levels. Please turn with me to page 1902. 1902 in your pew Bibles if you do not have a Bible of your own with you. I'm going to ask you to remain there because we're going to be referencing there. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we'll reference a few points. As we begin our journey next week into this season of Advent, a penitential season where we prepare our hearts for the birth, to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we prepare our hearts, I kind of want us to take a look at the aspect. As we prepare for Jesus' birth, we want to look at our new birth. And the aspect that I want us to focus on is the fact that new birth, our new birth, creates the connection between God's love for us and our love for each other. So if anyone ever asks, how does the fact that God loves you, how does it result in you and how you love others? And of course, the answer is very simple. It is the new birth that creates this connection. It creates this connection. The new birth is the act of the Holy Spirit connecting our dead, selfish, sinful hearts with God's living, loving heart, so that His life now becomes our life and His love becomes our love. I mean, this is clearly seen in our portion, especially in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Let me just reiterate that section real quick. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So we see that his life becomes our life and his love becomes our love in this portion of what we've read. And John shows this link in two ways. First, he shows that God's nature is love. So that when we are born again by him, we share in that nature. We have a share in that nature. As Peter writes it in 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 3, he says that we participate in his divine nature. We participate. His nature we share in. And second, he shows that the manifestation in history of God's nature was when God sent his one and only begotten Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. I want us to take these one at a time and notice how they're connected to the new birth, our regeneration, our new life in Christ. So let's look at the first one. God's nature is love. Verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's nature, who God is love. It's love. Notice it says two things about that love. Verse 7 says that love is from God. And then verse 8 ends in God is love. I want us to see this morning that those two statements are not at odds with one another. Because when John says that love is from God, he means that love is from God the way heat is from fire, or the way light is from the sun. Love belongs to God's nature. It's woven into what he is. It's a part of what it means to be God. The sun gives light because the sun is light. And fire gives heat because fire is heat. It's nature. So John's point here in the new birth is that this aspect of God's divine nature becomes now a part of who we are. That it's almost an indispensable part of our nature now. Our nature, because God lives in us and he is love, it is in our nature to love ourselves. Not love ourselves, but to love others, ourselves. Let's see what he says in verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. When we are born again, God himself is imparted to us. He now dwells in us. He sheds abroad his heart, his love in us. And his aim now is that love be perfected in us. Notice the phrase, his love. In verse 12, his love. That love you have as a born-again person is no mere, just it's no imitation of love. It's an experience of His divine love. And as we love others, it is an extension of His love as He loves others through us. And so the first way in which John links God's love for us and our love for people now is by focusing on God's nature as love and how the new birth connects to that. Then, secondly, he wants us to consider in verses 9 through 11, just want to touch on that. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Then second, in verses 9 through 11, John focuses on the main manifestation of that love, that divine love in history. So in John's mind, the great manifestation of God's love is that God sent His one and only begotten Son. John says that twice. One in verse 9 and one in verse 10. The aim of that sending, the aim of God's love and Him sending His Son for us was for what? For Him to be an atoning sacrifice, or depending on whatever translation you read, most of them say a propitiation for our sins. That's what makes God's sending His Son to be loving for us. Not that He just sent Him, but there was a purpose in His sending. And what is an atoning sacrifice? What is this word, propitiation? If this is God's manifestation of love, what does it mean? It means that He came to bear our punishment for sin and thus be the one who removes the wrath of God from us. I want us to think of it this way. This means that it was God's love that sent His Son to bear God's just penalty for our sin and to take away God's just wrath for our sin. The greatest act of love, the greatest manifestation of love, is God's unilateral action to satisfy His own wrath. And the way the Son does this, of course, is mentioned in the earlier chapter, chapter 3, verse 16. John writes, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us." So the Son, the only begotten Son of God, became our propitiation by laying down His life for us, dying for us. And John says that this is the manifestation of God's nature. That this is the way God is. And then I want us to notice another note that John kind of brings up in verse 10. He says, This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. What is He guarding against in that denial? In this is love, or that this is love, not that we have loved God. What he is trying to emphasize here is that the nature and the origin of love does not lie in our response to God. Does not lie in our response to God. That is not where love starts. That is not mainly what love is. Love is, and love starts solely from God. And if anything we feel can be tested, or anything we do can be called love, it will be because we are connected with God by the new birth. It does not originate from us. So now we have seen two things about God's love. First, John shows that God's nature is love, so that when we are born again by Him, we share in that nature. And second, he shows that the manifestation, the greatest manifestation of that love in history, is when God sent His only Son so that we might have eternal life through Him. But I don't want us to miss the crucial place of the new birth in relation to the manifestation of God's love, as well as the nature of God's love. When John says in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another." When John writes that, how are we to understand the word ought? I mean, if we have forgotten everything in the preceding five verses, we might be able to say, well, if the point of the incarnation is imitation, that God showed us a way in which we should live, and so therefore we are obligated to live that way because it's all about moral behavior or behavioral modification. It's not what Christianity is about. We don't preach the opposite, but that's not the heart and soul of the gospel. It's not imitation. It's not that God loved us and that we look at how He did it and where He did it, and then we're going to go and do that too because we're obligated to. That's not the gospel message. But John, and not forgetting what he has just previously written, in verses 7 and 8, "Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So when we says we ought to love each other, he means ought the exact same way fish ought to swim in water, or the way in which birds ought to fly in the air, or in the way every creation God has ever created ought to breathe. It's second nature to us because it's who we are. It's who we are. This is not mere imitation. For the children of God, for those who are born again, imitation becomes realization. It's who we are. We are realizing who we are
when we love. God's seed is in us. His Holy Spirit dwells within us. God's nature is in us. So therefore, God's love is being perfected in us. And so I want to return back to what I said at the beginning. As we venture into this upcoming Advent season next week, and we prepare ourselves for the birth of Christ, and we see that John is telling us that that is the manifestation of history of God's love for us. The aspect of the new birth, as we see Christ's birth, we want to look at our spiritual new birth in this penitential season. And I want us to focus on is the fact that the new birth creates this connection between God's love for us and our love for each other. Once again, if anyone ever asks, how does the fact that God has loved you, how does it result in you loving others? The answer is simple. It's the new birth that creates this connection. God gives me His nature. Or God shares His nature with me. He dwells inside of me. And it's now who I am. So therefore I do. The new birth is the act of the Holy Spirit once again connecting our deadened, selfish hearts to God's living, loving hearts so that His life becomes our life and His love becomes our love. The new birth connects us to that in such a way that it defines who we are as the children of God. If we are born again, we love each other. So, what I want to do for the rest of our time together this morning is to apply this to us here at Epiphany. I want to say to you what the Apostle John said in verse 11, "Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another." If we are regenerate people, if we have been born again by the Holy Spirit, we are a loving people. Amen. If we are born again, the Holy Spirit is in us. We know that we have passed, he says in chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. Amen. What will this look like? What will this look like? Of course, all throughout this letter, John mentions several specific ways that the love of God will become real in our lives through the new birth. However, I'll only mention one for the sake of time and see how this transforms our lives together. And so if the greatest manifestation of God's love in history was in the sending of His Son to lay down His life for us, then the way that is played out in our church, in Epiphany, is that we meet the needs of others even at the greatest cost. The most specific way John says the love of God is real in our lives is through the new birth, or in the new birth, is found in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And then he goes, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. He says three things about his love here, or about love here. And they are increasingly specific. First, he says that love does practical things for people. Verse 18, he says, little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. I mean, he's not saying that talk is not important, because it is. It's a very important way of loving people. However, the tongue is full of potential for both love and hate. What he means here is that where deeds of practice and help or practical help is called for, don't settle for talk. Don't settle for talk. Do practical things to help one another. Then he tells us something about how seriously we should take this. In verse 16 of chapter 3, we ought to lay down our own lives for the brothers. We ought to lay down our own lives for the brothers. Christ loved us by laying down his life for us. When we are born again, this love becomes our love. There is in the born-again person a deep impulse to die to self so that others might live. The presence of Christ in the born-again person is the presence of a servant's heart, not one who always desires to be served. A sacrificial spirit. A readiness to go down that others might go up. Love does not want to prosper at the expense of others. Love wants others to prosper. And if it costs us our life, that's okay, because Jesus will take care of us. So the first thing John says is that love is practical and does good for others. And the second thing he says is that we will do this even if it is very costly. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Third, he says that this will mean very practical sacrifices of things that people need. Verse 17 of chapter 3, if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? The way that John has in mind for us to lay down our lives for each other is that we share with everything that we have.
radical way of living, completely contrary to the American way. But yet it was the identification card of the early church. Read Acts chapter 2. It's all about me and mine, not according to the scriptures. Love doesn't think possessively. I mean, simplistic. This isn't my church. This isn't your church. This is God's church. Love does not think possessively. Love knows that everything belongs to God. We are only managers of His possessions. Everything we have is at His disposal. And God is love. And when we are born again, His love becomes our love. And now His love governs our possessions in our hands. So let's be, first, a very practical people who love in deeds and not just words. Then let us be a sacrificial people who deny ourselves for the sake of others and lay down our lives the way Christ laid down His own life. And then let's be lavishly generous with one another, with everything that we have, knowing that it all belongs to God anyway, and we belong to God. We are His children. We have His nature, and His nature is love. And how does He express His love to us? Jesus' death. He laid down His life. So as we once again enter this Advent season, I want us to focus in a fresh way on the love God manifests in sending His Son, and realizing that because He was born, He was meant to die. Him laying down His life to show us what the Father's love is like. And then as we focus in our prayer time and our acts of service and penance during this time, as we focus on the glories of the love of God in Christ, let's pray earnestly that the new birth would be confirmed among us as it creates this connection between God's love for us and our love for each other. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us stand together and reaffirm our common faith found in the words of the Apostles' Creed.